Hello, friend. Welcome back to Learning English Through the Bible. This month, we'll discuss about a miracle which the Lord Jesus performed and one of the parables he told in Mark chapter 4. Before we do that, let me ask you a question. If you had all the power of the Almighty God, if you are able to carry out anything you desire, just like God, what would you do? I know for sure that you wouldn't want anything like a beautiful car or a magnificent house, because all those material things are too easy to make. All you have to do is to say, "Let there be this or that," and then it will be so. You wouldn't want a perfect robot that is programmed to do anything for you as you wish, and to constantly praise you and to say, "I love you." You would desire for something far more precious than the whole material universe, which you could easily make. You wouldn't want to be pestered by the meaningless praises a robot can continuously and untiringly repeat. Instead, you would want a true friend who has the free will to choose whether to love or to ignore or even to hate you. Without a doubt, you would want one who chooses to respond to your love and loves you back. Now let's look at the miraculous event in Mark chapter 4. Starting from verse 35, we read that after a long day's teaching, Jesus and his disciples took a boat across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was very tired, and he fell asleep in the boat. Then the Bible says, "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Dear friend, if you were there in the boat with the disciples, how would you feel? Wouldn't you also be terrified? Who can possibly command the wind and the sea other than the Lord God himself? Yet the Almighty God became flesh and walked on this earth. As man, the Lord Jesus was capable of being tired. As man, he understood our weaknesses and our needs. As man, he knew our worthlessness and our thirst for a better life. Let's read a parable Jesus taught on that day. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What does a parable mean? This is a question that the disciples already asked for us, and Jesus gave us a clear and direct answer. Before we get to the answer, though, I have two questions for you. First, for man, who is limited by his life on earth, which one is easier to understand? the things in heaven that God prepared for us, or a parable that uses earthly things to illustrate what are in heaven? Second, why did Jesus say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? I believe you know the correct answers. Let's read what our Lord said to his disciples and to us. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. At this point, you probably want to ask, why does the Almighty God allow 4 different types of soils? Why not the good soil only? Isn't he perfectly able to eliminate all the bad ones? Yes, he is. But he does not desire for a perfect robot that has no free will. He desires for a perfect friend who is free to decide which type of soil he wants to be, and who is free to love or hate or simply ignore him, but chooses to accept the seed and retains it, and by persevering, produces a crop for him. To the Lord God, that weak yet strong friend is more than anything in the entire universe. In order to gain such a friend, the Lord Jesus departed his glorious home in heaven. He came down to us on earth. He walked with us, fed us, healed us, and taught us. And even more, he became sin for us and died for us on the cross, so that each and every sinner can become a perfect friend to him. What love is greater than this? He gave his life for us, yet we still have the freedom to decide which type of soil we want to be. Dear friend, do you hear Jesus? He who has ears, let him hear. Dear friend, don't you want to be that perfect friend for Jesus? Receive the seed, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop for him. May the Almighty God bless you. See you next month.